Amen. James chapter number 4, starting at verse number 14. Very familiar scripture here. Whereas know ye not what shall be on the morrow? For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Hallelujah. If the Lord help me for a few moments, I'd like to take the words right out of that verse. For what is your life? That's what I'm going to preach on here tonight. What is life? Amen. What is your life? Hallelujah. He appears it to a vapor. For what is life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time. Amen. A few weeks back, I don't know, time slides by so fast. It might have been a month or so, 4 to 6 weeks ago, where Scotty was mowing downtown. I guess it was after a night of rain, and the fog had moved in off the river. It was down around Guyon Avenue, kind of a couple blocks before you get to St. Mary's, down in there doing some apartment buildings. And that fog had come up off that river, and you know, it was so thick you could hardly look down the city block to the next stop sign. That's how thick the fog was. Amen. And it's one of the times I've, of course, seen fog in the mountains, up on the mountains, and hunting before, and fog move in on you. You can see it coming up a valley, moving in on you. That's one of the times I'd seen it that thick, low down like that. Amen. And the writer here compares life to a vapor. It's kind of like a fog. Amen. And I told them boys, it was going to be hot that day. And I told them boys, for about an hour and a half, it was felt pretty good because the fog was separating the sun from us. Yeah. And I said, boys, hold off here a little bit. We'll be wishing for that fog. Amen.
Yeah.
But the sun came and it burnt the fog off. As fast as the fog came, it burnt right back off and it was gone. Amen. Yeah. That's how fast life is. Praise God. Yeah. Amen. James wrote that our lives are much the same. It's a vapor that appears for a little time and then it moves on. Amen. How quickly that it goes. Do you remember the days of the childhood dreaming? Amen. Of what you'd be one day when you grow up. Hallelujah. I remember us boys roaming the bottom, catching fish worms and fishing on the fish bank, river bank there, the Guyandotte River that flowed out of Gilbert. Amen. We lived a couple miles out of town, and I remember them good old days. Hallelujah. When I was so young, I thought I might just lay around fishing all my life.
Yeah,
I was having a good time fishing, hunting, and riding horses, and riding four-wheelers. Amen. Then I got a little bit older, and I dreamed about being a preacher. Amen. Wanted to preach for Jesus. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
It doesn't seem like it's been all that many years ago. Praise God. What is life? Amen. Some little boys dream of being a police officer. Amen. Hallelujah. Fireman. Maybe some young girl dreams about being a teacher and teaching her young students one day. Hallelujah. Amen. But how adulthood hits so fast. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Praise God.
Yes, sir.
I tell you what, I guess if you call adulthood 18, I've been an adult 20 years. Amen. Been working way over 20 years. I started mowing grass when I was about 14 years old, regular for people. Amen.
Yeah, yeah.
So I've been working way more than 20 years. Praise God. Not to put Jonathan on the spot today, but he's talking about, amen, much what he wants to do one day when he grows up. Be a lineman. That'd be great if that'd be the Lord's will.
Yeah, yeah.
Amen. It'd be great to do that one day.
Yeah.
But some advice, not from an old man, but from a 20-year-old adult man, praise God, 20 years into adulthood.
Yeah.
Amen. Don't wish your life away. It runs by way quicker than what you ever thought. Praise God.
Yeah.
I remember being in junior high and even high school wishing, oh, that I could never get out of school. Man, if I could just get out of here. And then after you get out of school several years, you wish you could go back.
Amen.
Oh, if I could just go back to the years when I stayed at mom and dad's house. Amen.
Yeah.
Hey, God in heaven didn't have the responsibilities, didn't have the stresses. Amen. Of everyday life. Oh, how fast life goes. Amen. Hey, God in heaven. Amen. Adulthood's here. Amen. And then those strong years of physical maturity, if you don't wash, vanish away. Amen. Then your hair turns gray.
Yeah.
And then your face starts wrinkling. And then your back hurts.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
You don't notice you do things so much. It's been over a year ago. Weston was way smaller. Sometimes when I get up, you know, you sit in a chair, or I notice Brother Tommy praying, want to go, you get up and you go, oh, amen. Hey, God, I never really noticed I did it, but I guess when I sit up, I go, oh, my back hurts. Amen. My back hurts. Praise God. Yeah. And was there Brother Kurtz, one of them revival meetings or fellowship meetings or something of that sort, a bunch of people standing around the circle, a lot of preachers. And old Weston walked up there in front of all of them, heart stepped back up and said, oh, me back hooks. Amen. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey, God, bears me to death. Hallelujah. Oh, those strong years will vanish away quicker than what you thought. Come amen. Praise God. Get the Lord to help me. I'm going to preach to us here tonight on what is life. Amen. Praise God. What is life? Amen. Oh, many people go directly. From the springtime of life, if you don't watch out, my dad got hurt at my age, 38 years old. My dad's never walked again since normally, with a normal walk. Amen. He got hurt at my age. Amen. He went straight from spring to wintertime. Hallelujah. Yeah. Amen. But do you know life has seasons much like real life does? Amen. Great God, here we are in summertime. I remember it wasn't too long ago, spring hit. Amen. And then after spring, summertime came with a vengeance. But you know what? It won't be long. You could smell fall coming on. Yeah, hallelujah. Thank God. And then the coldness of them fall mornings, it reminds you of the winter that's just around the corner. And that's the way life is. It doesn't wait. Amen. Life don't wait. Praise God. It don't wait on nobody, but it comes and it just keeps on going. Thank God. But life is not only just short, but here's really what I want to get into tonight. Life is significant. Amen. Life is short. It's here today and it's gone tomorrow. But life is also significant. Amen. Every life has a value. Amen. Paul wrote that none of us liveth to himself and no man dieth unto himself. We're not here just like a dog going to go to doggy heaven one day. I tell you, we're adults. Amen. We're human beings. Praise God. We're a soul that's got, we're a life that's got a soul that's going to live for eternity somewhere. Amen. And I come to tell you, life's important. Amen. Life is significant. No man liveth to himself and dieth unto himself. But great God, you touch a lot of people's lives. What time you're here. Amen.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You're important.
Yes. Yeah,
did you know that?
Yes, sir.
Woman wrote a poem. I like this. A builder built a temple. He wrought it with grace and skill. Pillars and arches, all fashioned to work his will. Men said as they saw its beauty, it shall never know decay. Great is thy skill, O builder. Thy fame shall endure for all. A Christian builded a temple with loving and infinite care, planting each arch with patience, lying each stone with prayer. None, amen, praised his unceasing efforts. None knew of his wondrous plan. For the temple the Christian builded was unseen by the eyes of man. Gone is the builder's temple, crumbled into the dust. Low lies each stately pillar, food for consuming rust. But the temple the Christian builded will last while the ages roll. For that beautiful unseen temple, great God, was his own immortal soul. I come to tell you tonight, you're building something that's going to last forever. Hallelujah. They told me, I don't know Brother Strickler near as well as some of you, brother. I know Brother Scotty Newton well, brother. Brother William Strickler just passed away, 89 years old, I think it was, in this coronavirus. Amen. And I knew him some. I knew Lee way better than William. Praise God. 89 years old, but it broke my heart as far as I know with all this going on and this pandemic and such a hard-hit area up there as far as I know. They said they just had him a private graveside service. Amen. A man that pastored a church all of his life. Amen. I guess in his heyday, old Brother William pastored 300 plus in a whole in a church. That's a good crowd. Amen. I mean, had a strong work, had a good church. Lived his life, pastored, preached, give his life to God. And I don't know about you, that broke my heart. When somebody said it just had him a private graveyard service, and God lowered him in the grave somewhere, and it broke my heart. But oh,
pastor studying there about this little message. I thought Brother William didn't just have a private graveside service. But Brother Scott, there was a great crowd of witnesses up there on the other side. Amen. That moment Brother William drew his last breath. And God bless up there. Saying there he is. There's that old patriarch that preached the gospel over 50 years. Amen. Pulling in pride for the souls of men. Preached and encouraged the heavy-hearted. I come to tell us what is life. It's here today and it's gone tomorrow. I thought about Brother L.D. Savage, 87 years old, preached all of his life, come down near the end of this coronavirus, recently took him. Great God, I come to tell us, church, life's short. Hey, Brother Kirk called me there this evening and said, pray for, amen, Brother Tim Roberts, amen. Pray for Brother Tim. I don't guess he's probably 50s, 55 of course. I kind of had forgot. Brother Kurt reminded me he had that sarcoidosis. Amen. Already that lung condition. That's wrong with his lungs. And then he got this virus and it put him over the edge. And as far as I know, amen, they're getting ready to turn him off of the ventilator real soon. Hey God, I'm not being depressing right here tonight. But oh, Brother Kurt and I got to talking. Don Rich has faded off the scene. He's not even hardly able to preach anymore. Joey Height just laid him in the grave a year or two ago. Ralph Horton laid him in the grave a couple years ago. Brother Russell McDonald fading off into his elder age. Thank God, Brother Benny Sutherland. Kurt didn't even know I was studying on this. Benny Sutherland, 80 years old, not able to get out and preach camp meetings anymore. What is life? I tell you what it is. It's here today and it's gone tomorrow. And God, I believe, is calling the younger generation to arise up to the occasion and be a willing vessel to stand for God and to live for God in this day. Hey God, Joey Hines dead, but God's still alive. L.D. Savage is in the grave. William Strickler, amen, died this past week, but God's still alive. The church is still alive. We gotta keep rolling. What is life? It's what you make of it. You wanna lay around and be depressed and think there's no good in it? That's what you'll get out of it. But I come to tell you, life is good. Life is of God, and God can give us a good life. Amen.
Yes, sir, Brother Jason. Woo!
As important as your life is on this earth, it takes an added dimension after you've passed away.
Yes, sir.
Did you hear that?
Hallelujah.
As important as life is here, great God, it's very important. I believe life's very important right here. But as important as it is right here, it's way more important when you draw your last breath. Hallelujah. It will be reflected by the hundreds of lives that you have touched. Hey God, listen to me. Your children, your spouse, your fellow workers, your neighbors, something of your character and mind is left in each and every one of you. Hallelujah. Hey God, I come to tell us, hey, you leave an impact on somebody down here in this life. What kind of an impact? What is your life? As Brother Anthony told us a while ago, you can't take it with you. Thank God. Hey, amen. You can't lay up in store and want more of this world. I tell you what you better do. You better start laying up on the other side. I said you better start laying up treasures in heaven where moth and rust doth not corrupt. Amen.
Lord.
Yeah. Woo! He that is unjust, the Bible said, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. I believe what you are right here, you will be in eternity. Hey God, the Bible said, as a tree falleth, so shall it lie. Hey God, if you live an unrighteous life, you're going to die an unrighteous life. If you live a holy life, you're going to die a holy man. Hey God, I am. What kind of life are you living? Teenager, your life is not your own. It affects your mother. It affects your father. It affects your brothers, your sisters. You have a responsibility. Listen to me, Dad. Your life affects your wives. Your life affects your children, as well as those on your job. Mom, your life affects your husbands, as well as your children. Hey, God, you're impacting somebody's life. And I come to ask you, what is your life? Amen.
As a man lives, so shall he die. Bible said, as a tree falleth, so shall it lie.
Yeah, Lord. Oh, yes.
One of the greatest dangers, I believe, in life, selfishness. Listen to me. We live in a materialistic society that enthrones self and dethrones God. It's all about me, me, me. It ain't about God, it's about us. What can we get? What can we do? How much more can I have? That's sinful. Hallelujah. Jesus spoke of a well-to-do man and said, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Hallelujah. Amen. Hey, God, listen, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. How do you think God feels when he sees how much we spend on vacations? When he sees how much time we spend on leisure activities? Hey, God, and how little time. Brother Anthony didn't even know how on he was as far as what I had on my heart. How much time you spend, great God, on vacation and leisure time and what you like to do and how little you give to the kingdom of God. Hey, I come to tell us, what is your life? Is your life selfish? Could you ease a lot of many people living around you? Hey, God, could your words be more kind? Could you do more for Jesus? Could you have fewer luxuries so that others could have necessities? Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and do it that not to him it is sin.
Yeah.
What about the list of those things? Somebody said, well, we ought not do this. The sin of commission, committing sin. But you know there's sin of omission.
Leave out.
Yes, sir. He said, if you know to do good and do it that not, it's a sin, things you know you ought to do.
Yeah.
Hold on. But you don't do it. You know you ought to do it. But if you know you ought to pray and you don't pray, it's not just a mistake. It's a sin.
Sin.
That's good. Serious, Lord.
Pray for me. If you know you ought to read God's Bible every day and you don't, it's a sin.
Sin.
If you know to do good, do it not. To him it is a... That ain't Jason's word. It's a sin.
Yeah, Lord.
I'm trying to help us here tonight.
You're preaching good.
Amen. If you know you should be a Christian neighbor, kind and loving, you don't do it, it's a sin. If you know you'll be faithful to the house of God and you don't do it,
sin.
Right.
Thank you, Chris God.
Right.
If you know that you should obey God's commandments and God's law and you don't do it, it's a sin.
Jesus.
Sin of omission is as deadly as any sin of commission. Did you know that? What is your life? Don't live life dangerously. Michelle told me the other day, she said, Weston's afraid. It's amazing how different kids are. Hudson ain't afraid of nothing. Has no fear. No fear. Hudson, no. No fear. Weston's scared to death. He's scared of everything. Hallelujah. And I told Michelle, I said, I hope he keeps that. Amen. I hope he keeps that.
Yeah.
One of these days it might save his life.
Yeah,
praise God if he's scared of something. I've seen a lot of guys scared of nothing. Amen. And it costs them their life. Because they have no fear. Lord, help us to realize, God, that we better fear God. Amen.
Amen.
One of the greatest sins in our time is the sin of omission, things we left undone. Hey, God, how should we then live? I believe James went on to say we ought to say if it be the Lord will.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. We should live and do this and do that. Praise God. It's not my will. Great God, it's not get up in the morning and do what Jason wants to do. Lord, what would you have me to do?
Hallelujah. If I know I ought to witness and I don't witness, it's a sin. Hallelujah. Hey God, if I know I ought to work for God and I don't, it is a sin.
Yes, sir.
Used to have an old saying here, if I'm saying this right. Amen. Praise God. Dio Valippi. And they said even in Christian letters many years ago, it would say DV, which meant if the Lord will.
If the Lord will.
Yeah. God willing. It was an acknowledgement of the will of God in the Christian's life.
Amen.
The duty of our lives, the supreme achievement, amen, that we could ever achieve in this world is, are we doing the Lord's will? Hallelujah.
Come on, Brother Jason.
It is to operate within the will of God. That's what I want to do. I want to operate in God's will.
Yes. Amen. Yes. Thank you, Lord.
You know how to be miserable? Operate in your will.
Amen.
You'll be miserable.
Sure will.
Amen. You are here, I believe. I like that old book. A lot of people give it a bad rap in the hole in this realm of things, but I read it and I enjoyed it. Purpose-driven life. I don't know if you ever read that or not. I realized what his name was, Rick Warren. He went off the deep end and he's got a lot of theologies I don't agree with and I don't believe. But I do believe everybody's got a purpose-driven life.
Yeah.
I believe you've got a life that the Lord has given you.
Yes.
And it's got purpose. Hallelujah.
Right.
Amen. And we ought to say, if it be the Lord will, we shall live and we shall do this and we shall do that. Are we living and operating in the will of God? Amen. Nothing exists just by itself, but it has to be operated in the will of God. There are two things that can keep us from fulfilling the will of God in our lives. Number one, that we can allow the devil to overwhelm us with the inferiority complex and tell us that we can never accomplish what God wants us to do.
All right, brother.
Yes, Lord.
Gideon had that at the start. God said, spoke to him, you can do. What about Moses? Moses had that. After 40 years of the backside of that desert, God said, Moses, lead my children out. Moses said, oh, I can't do that. How many people said, I can't do it? I can't do it. Amen. I can't do that. Hallelujah. Oh, but don't listen to the devil. Amen. And number two, I've already hit on it. One of the most deadliest things that will keep you out of the will of God is selfishness. You will miss God's will for your life by a long shot. If you're motivated by your own desires and your own love. The Bible said lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. This entire universe operates in direct obedience to the will of God. You know why the earth spins on its axis? You know why the moon goes through its phases like it does? Because God told it to.
That's right.
Hallelujah. If the world operates in the will of God, you and I ought to. Christ's life was always lived in direct obedience to the will of God.
Yes,
all
amen.
The way back at the age of 12, when he was old enough to do anything on his own, where was Jesus? He said, I come to do the will of the Father.
Hallelujah.
And he was in the synagogue teaching the doctors and the lawyers at the age of 12. Hallelujah.
Right.
Woo! Over and over, Jesus said, I must do the works of him that sent me.
Yes.
In the Garden of Gethsemane before he went to the cross. Amen. Hey, God, he suffered immeasurably. And Jesus cried one of the greatest cries and prayers in all of the Bible for us to learn and engrave it in our heart. He said, Father, not my will, but thine be done. I wonder how many here tonight could cry, oh God, it's not what I want, but it's what you want. Hey, God in heaven, Lord, it's whatever you want.
Thank you, Lord.
Michelle used to have a problem. I can't blame it on her. I guess I did too. With the way the dedicated kids in our Flatwoods, they make you say something, they repeat back, would you be willing to send your kid to a foreign mission field? Well, when you're a brand new mom and dad, that's a little bit hard. You're looking at a little baby, so I'm going to send it to Africa.
Yeah.
Or wherever in the world. But I come to tell you, whatever God's will for that child is.
That's it.
Old Brother Hudson, Tim Hudson's girls had been over in China. I'd worry me to death. Might grow over in a communistic country.
Oh yeah.
But I tell you what, if it had been God's will, woo, amen, that'd be the best place in the world for him to be.
Yes,
you know
sir,
that?
Right.
Woo! Right. God. Hey, Lord, help us. Help us, God, no matter what. God, that I would be willing to do your will.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
It's easier to do your will. It's quieter than that. That's all right.
Yeah.
It's easier for you to do what you want to do
right. Than
it is to do what God wants us to do.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Amen. I'm done. Don't worry. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I must do the amen works of him that sent me. What is your life? The scripture says you ought to say if it be the Lord will. Are you acknowledging God's will and selecting your husband?
Mm-hmm.
Are you acknowledging the Lord's will and selecting a wife? Amen. You better. It's one of the most important decisions you'll ever make in life.
Amen.
And you better get the will of God on that one. Are you fulfilling God's plan in your choice of a job? I'm not dropping, but I told Michelle the other day, I said, hey, God, I don't feel like I'm an old man, but these 98, 95 degree days never used to bother me. She got on me the other day. She said, as you sitting around this house? I said, hey, I'm not trying to drop. I've been in this 90 degree weather for 3 weeks. I'm wore out.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's got to be no worse sale beaches than tonight. I don't know how he does it. Hallelujah. So I'm wore out, Brother Earl.
Yeah.
He's been out there in that weather.
Oh, yeah.
So if you've been out there, Brother Chuck works in that old warehouse up there, ain't got no air conditioning. Sitting in that old oven. Great God, that sun baking that oven. We ain't what we used to be. That ain't griping and complaining. Amen. Thank God. But we're not what we used to be. Hallelujah. Amen. And I had a good job. Amen. Not bragging or nothing to those sorts. Amen. We was talking about it earlier. I was reminding them. Amen. We only work 3 12s. 3 12s a week. And so that's 3 times 50 is 150 days. And then minus your vacation, minus your elective holidays, I think I had it figured up one time. I only worked 120 days a year. That's a pretty good job. Full-time job.
Yeah.
Work long hours while I was there, and we worked hard the days you did work. Amen. And praise God. I told Michelle the day, I said, I'm rethinking this thing. Mowing grass in the 95 degrees when I could be down there in the air conditioner.
Yeah.
But I quit that so I could do this. What I'm doing right now.
Yeah.
Amen. What is your vocation? Did you pick it because that's what you wanted to do? Are you picking it because that's what the Lord wants you to do?
Come on, all right.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
One of the girls said the other day, somebody told them, one of their friends told them, said, I want to go to Bible college. And one of them said, what's a Bible college? Well, can you learn at Bible college? I said, you learn the Bible.
Yeah.
That's the greatest thing in life you can learn.
Yes, sir, brother. Yeah. That's right.
That's what you learn in Bible college.
Yes, sir.
Great God, you learn the Bible.
Amen.
What better thing can you learn?
Right.
Thank you, Lord.
Physics ain't no better than that.
No.
Chemistry ain't no better than that.
No.
Medical school ain't no better than that.
No.
Hey, God, I come to tell us it's the best thing this side of heaven is God's word. Lord, I want to put you in the center. Thank God of the job that I choose to do. I want to put you in the center of everything I do, Lord.
Yes, sir.
Oh, Jesus.
I couldn't move on here. I've got a few more things I need to say and I'm done. Are you in God's will and your attitudes? Let me suggest 3 basic areas where God's will for your life is clearly stated. And I'll let you go. Number 1. It is the will of God that all should be saved. Did you know that?
That's right.
Yes.
For this is 1 Timothy 2 and 3 and 4. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. It's God's will for man to be saved. Hallelujah. He put us down here with every intention. And I don't believe not one person will stand before God one day and say, God, you never pulled on my heartstring. I believe he calls under the four corners of the earth and he gives every man a chance to be saved. It is the will of God for man to give his life That's God's will.
Woo! Praise you, Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah. Do you believe that's the Lord? That's the will of God? Amen. 2,000 years ago, Jesus demonstrated his qualifications to be a sinless Savior. And he died on the cross a little over 2,000 years ago that I could be saved.
Thank you, Lord.
And not only did he die, he rose again the third day with power. Hallelujah. I got to move on here. Amen. But the second thing that is the will of God for your life is God calls everyone to sanctification.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Right. Get it for me, Brother Tommy. I ain't got a good reference on this. I should have already had you get it. 1 Thessalonians 4:3. I only got part of the scripture. 1 Thessalonians 4:3. Hallelujah. It is God's will, listen to me, for every one of us in this house tonight to be sanctified, our heart to be set apart, for us to leave the love and desires of the world and sanctify our hearts for the good and the glory of God. Amen. Sir. That's God's will. Tell us what it says.
For this is the will of God.
This is the will of God.
Even your sanctification.
Even your sanctification. Hallelujah.
Glory, glory.
It's not an option. It bothers me. Amen. When people drink up, getting saved is just the start of it. That's not a one-time dip and a one-time dose. Hallelujah. It ain't like you kneel down in that altar and you get saved and that'll do you the rest of your life. That's just the starting place. Amen. Hey, God, I tell you, once you get saved, Brother Anthony, great God, he's been getting this thing. He's burned out ankle deep. He's waiting on out in there. Hey, God, the deeper you get in God, amen, the more of him you want. And then next thing you'll get in an altar and you'll say, Lord, I want to be sanctified. Hey, what does that mean? That means separated from this world. Hey, this world won't have no more draws on you. Hey, God, that sin won't have no more bright lights to you. But you'll say, goodbye, world, goodbye. Amen, that's the old man. I'm a brand new man. And I don't care for those things anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's God's will for all of us to be sanctified.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
When Satan comes along to tempt you, you're sanctified. You cannot touch my body. You cannot touch my mind.
Come on.
Brother Gene hit on this a while ago. And I'll throw this in with number two, because I got a number three too here. But with number two, after you're sanctified, then your fit vessel will be filled with the Holy Ghost. People say, I want to preach the gospel. I want to do this. I want to do that. You need to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the power of God that equips you to do any kind of work for God. Then you got to be baptized with the Holy Ghost.
Yes, sir.
Woo! You can't preach on your own. You can't lay hands on the sick and they recover on your own. You got to have the power of God, which is the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Yes, sir.
A lot of people just believe sanctified first, second, definite work of grace. I also believe there's a third. Amen. The baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Yes, sir.
He'll give you the power to tread on serpents. God. You know, Vernon Luke, I should have had them references. Amen. Hey, God. And if I drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm me.
Right.
You can take up serpents out of thee. Hey, God, man, he ain't calling us to snake handling either. But he's saying, if I've got to, I can pick up the devil by the head and right. He can't harm me. Why? Because I've been endued with power. Am I going to preach the gospel and reach the lost world? Yeah, you can with the Holy Ghost. You can't do it on your own. You don't even have to be a preacher, mom. Dad maybe said, can I reach my family that's lost? No, you can't on your own. But if the Holy Ghost gets on you, you can pray them through. I come to tell us, I'm not Holy Ghost or nothing, but I believe we need the Holy Ghost. And it bothers me in this day that people don't pray for him anymore.
You're right.
Amen.
My Lord.
I'm not super old, but I remember the day when the altars were lying, people sick in the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you need the Holy Ghost.
Yes, sir, Brother Jason.
You need the power of God. Hallelujah. Do you believe that?
Yes.
We need the Holy Ghost, don't we?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
It's the will of God for us to be saved.
Yes.
It's the will of God for us to be sanctified.
And somebody said it this morning. It's the will of God for God to give us the Holy Ghost. It's a gift that God gives His people.
Right.
In order to get it, you've got to be saved and you've got to be sanctified.
Right.
Woo!
Thank you,
right.
Lord.
I hope it's all right.
Truth. Yes. Truth.
Holiness is one of the greatest teachings of the Bible.
Right.
You know, the Bible talks about holiness more than it talks about love.
Right.
Think of that.
God wants His people to be holy.
Yes.
God wants His people to be holy. The will of God, thirdly, Romans 12 and 1. Amen. Thirdly, after you get saved, after you get sanctified, and you get filled with God's sweet heavenly Holy Ghost, the third will of God, God wants you to get involved in His work and in His service. Romans 12 and 1.
I beseech you, therefore, brethren.
I beseech you, therefore, brethren.
By the mercies of God.
By the mercy of God.
That ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service.
Amen. Hallelujah. That's the last will of God that we're going to cover here tonight. God wants you to give your body over to Him, a willing sacrifice.
Yes, God. Yes.
Salvation is not a free trip to glory. It means that it just gets you ready to work for Him.
That's a truth.
Yes, same.
I want to work for Him, don't you?
Amen.
I want to work for Him. My friend, your life is short. So terribly short. Somebody help me up here. Life is short. It will only... Amen. It will be over quickly and time will continue to go on. Life is short. What is your life? What is your life? How are you living it? Are you giving it to God? But a preacher told me a long time ago, talking about another preacher. He said, Brother Jason, I can't believe, but he don't believe holiness anymore. And then before it wasn't too long, that preacher didn't believe holiness anymore. I've seen a lot of people come and go, Brother Scotty.
Yeah.
You've seen a lot of people come and go. They used to believe this good way, and now they fight this way. Yeah. They used to believe holiness. And now they believe like that worldly crowd that you can live like the devil and go to heaven.
Yeah. Come on down.
Let me tell you something, church. I'm not a cult. This ain't a cult.
No.
By no means.
Sir.
We're not in bondage.
No.
I don't twist anybody's arm in here and make you do anything.
No.
But I try my best to preach to you the truth.
Christ.
Amen.
That's good.
I'm not in bondage. I'm not in some kind of cult.
No.
I tell you what I could do. I wouldn't have to get out there in 95 degree days and mow grass if I'd loosen up and preach worldly and go get me a big worldly church. That'd be way easier, wouldn't it?
Come on.
Wouldn't that be easier off as far as... Then you can just loosen up and have big crowds,
yeah,
like the world does. It costs you something to live for God.
Yes, yeah, sir. You're right.
It costs you something. Oh, God. Now, I wouldn't sell myself short for it, but I'm
not. No, sir.
Woo!
Right. That's right. That's right.
I guess I'll stick to Obamacare. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Woo!
That's right.
Hey, God.
That's right.
I guess I'll stick to Obamacare and 95 degrees, 10 yards, amen.
Yeah.
Before I sell my soul out to the world and crowd, amen. What is life? It's too short to live like the world and go to hell.
You're right, brother. You're right.
Jesus.
Stand with me in this house. Hallelujah. What is life? What is life? Short, Brother Scottie. How old are you? 69. Is it faster now than it was? Man, I'm not a very old man, Brother Tommy, but I noticed the older I get, the faster life goes.
It does.
Faster life goes.
It does.
What is life? What are you doing with your life? Come on.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. Let's gather around these altars here tonight and say, Lord, I want to give you my
Lord
life.
Glory to God.
It ain't my life to
live.
I'm going to
thank you, Lord.
I want to give you my life. Come on, church. Let's pray.
Glory to God.
Let's seek the face of God. Let's seek the face of God. Come on.
Our country church was the same. Daddy would preach and Mama would sing. I remember it well. How the blessings fell like rain. Oh, in the Lord was the way of my life. Oh, but everything's changing for the better, they say. We're gonna show the world a better way. But deep in our hearts, it's plain to see that this old-fashioned way is the only way for me and I. Still believe in the old way. I still follow the landmarks our Father set. They pioneered the way with no fear and regret. And I still believe in the old way. I still get on bending knees to pray. I thank the Lord above for His blessings each day. I'm holding to God's word and I just can't leave. I'm still alive,
life is short.
The church was the scene.
Life is
suddenly.
Thank God.
How the best things fell like rain. The folks were gathering from miles around, preaching and praying till the power came down. It all seemed so much easier then, back before this modern day religion. And I still believe in the old way. I'm still following the landmarks that our Father set. They pioneered the way with no fear and regret. And I still believe in the old ways. I still get on bending knees to pray. And I thank the Lord above for His blessings each day. I'm holding to God's word and I just can't leave. But still folks would take heed to the good things they heard or loved. Trust in the Lord was the way of life. Oh, but everything's changing for the better, they say. We're going to show the world a better way. But deep in our hearts, it's plain to see that this old-fashioned way's the only way for me. I'm still following the landmarks that our Father said. They pioneered the way with no fear and regret. And I still believe in the old way. I still get on bending knees to pray. I thank the Lord above for His blessing each day. I'm holding to God's word and I just can't leave. But still church was the same. Daddy would preach and Mama would sing. I remember it well, how the blessings fell like rain. Folks would gather in from all around, preaching and praying till the power came down. It all seemed so much easier then,